SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind on the early line. It's a Tuesday morning, May 16th, 2023. Donnie Wrightside here, Joe Ranieri. And over the next 2 hours, we got you covered on the absolute hottest topics in sports. Tuesday, Wednesday run for Joe Ranieri. How are we feeling? The NBA just about to get heated up again.
Yeah, a little weird, right? We had no NBA last night, but getting ready for the next 48 hours, which will provide a whole lot of drama starting out west tonight. So looking forward to it, Donnie.
And by the way, did you like that drop there? Like the NBA playoffs get heated up, Miami Heat? I mean, come on, man. We are fired up this morning, hitting on all cylinders, which means, Joe, yeah, the 7-7, the hottest topic. Let's get right to it and have some fun. The Lakers and the Nuggets get it started tonight in the Western Conference Finals. LeBron James, Nikola Jokic. The ratings should be fantastic as this series, we hope, might go seven games.
Looks an awful like 2020 in the bubble here, doesn't it? Western Conference, nice. Lakers, Denver, Western Conference Finals, the Heat and Celtics, eerily familiar. But outside of Anthony Davis and LeBron James, not a whole lot remains from that championship run by the Lakers. Intriguing matchups we're going to dive into in this one here. I'm wondering, Donnie, and I can't wait to hear who you're giving the edge to in this series.
Yeah, it should be a good one here to line this up. And also, Joe, like no NBA action last night just felt kind of odd because it felt like doubleheaders, tripleheaders we were getting each and every night. You take that decompression zone, you move forward today, everything heats up once again. By the way, on the baseball diamond, normally, Joe, we talk about Shohei Ohtani and say, what's going on here? Seven innings pitch, five earned runs, my goodness. But that's not the top story. It was what Ohtani actually did at the plate yesterday, going 4-5, coming just short of an actual cycle while he pitched on the mound. Joe, never ceases to amaze me. Ohtani is sensational.
So when people ask, like, why are we always talking about him in the MVP? Well, that's why. You know, anybody else that has a night like that in the Major League Baseball season, if you do, please point him out where you can go seven, win the game, and almost hit for the cycle. It just absolutely ridiculous, and I hope people are appreciating, because much like Tiger Woods was back in the day, a Halley's Comet, so is Shohei Ohtani.
Absolutely sensational stuff to watch last night. And the home run he hit, it wasn't even a cheapie. I mean, 450-foot absolute blast yesterday. It would have been amazing if he pitched and actually hit for the cycle in a win. Just sensational stuff coming from Shohei here. How about the glance heard around the world yesterday? Chirping from the Yankees dugout, Aaron Judge looks over. Next pitch, he smokes out of the ballpark. But the Blue Jays seemingly have a little bit of an issue at that glance. Was he looking at the dugout, Joe? Or was he actually looking for a sign?
Well, I'm sure he was looking at the dugout, but you use PitchCom purposely to avoid ever having to give a sign, unless you think the Yankees have hacked into the PitchCom and now all of a sudden seem to know what you... I mean, come on, give me an absolute break. It was a meatball that you hung out over the plate, and they're still looking for the ball. It's not that hard to figure out here. So let's move on. No controversy here, guys. Find the ball, and then maybe we can have a conversation. Ridiculous.
Exactly. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous, because if he is actually watching the catcher and looking down, able to reset there and blast a baseball into the stands, that would be pretty amazing. But there are a lot of distractions at Major League Baseball games, and maybe in the future, Joe, we're talking about those Apple Watches. They can do some special things out there that we've seen in the past. Maybe they'll break in and break the code on PitchCom. As we welcome in the radio audience, you are watching to and listening live to the Early Line right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie, the hottest topics in sports, ripping right through the 7-7, which includes the Stars surviving the Kraken last night. A 2-1 game stays under the total. Dallas advances over Seattle.
Yeah, great game last night. There should have been, Tani, a lot more goals in this game, given how well Grubauer and Ottinger played there. A ton of shots, really good chances. A couple of shots hit the post. But, hey, at the end of the day, Dallas taking on Vegas, and I do think that series is going to be a whole lot of fun as well.
Yeah, it should be. It really should be. The Stanley Cup playoffs have certainly been fantastic here. And when you win the Cup, each of the franchisees, the financial benefits. And why are we talking financial benefits? Well, teams in the ACC, Joe, not happy going, huh, you see what the Big Ten's getting? Yeah. Well, did you see what the SEC is getting? Teams like Florida State and Clemson are asking the ACC, where's the money, Joe? We need to leave.
Yeah. Yep, Miami, North Carolina, they all are going. Okay, somebody want to explain to me what we're doing here? And I listen, this is the whole trickle-down effect here, right? When we've got all sorts of realignment and super conferences, this is bound to happen.
Yeah, that's what it is, comes down to. Players are leaving NIL, and also organizations such as institutions are looking to leave for more money. How about this? You talk about more money? Boy, if you hit the Powerball lottery tonight, not for $1 billion, maybe even more than that for Victor Wembanyama tonight. Finally the night for all those tanking teams, Joe.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be real interesting to see who grabs that that top pick, because game changer is what they're talking about with this kid. So got to be in it to win it.
Exactly. Sometimes you wait for a superstar to come along. Could that superstar be coming tonight here? As again, you tanked for years to get this. Some of these teams, maybe they can check in with it. How about this? A championship on the horizon, not just in the NBA and the NHL. The PGA Championship on deck this week, live from Rochester, New York, should be one to keep an eye on here. But we have so many topics to get to today, which includes what happened on the diamond last night. Come on back on the early line and check it out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect here on the early line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. About to bring the heat here in Major League Baseball from Monday night. It's Joe and Donnie here. And how about this? You spend a lot of money on a baseball team, which Steve Cohen did. You spend a ton of money on your roster, which Steve Cohen did. You expect results here because why? Sometimes in Major League Baseball, you can pay to play, which means I can just double, triple, or quadruple my roster strength against other Major League Baseball teams. And the only thing you have to do is pay into the luxury tax or the salary cap. And, you know, the Oakland Athletics and the Pittsburgh Pirates do enjoy that as well. But yesterday, the Nationals, a team basically going nowhere this year, actually 18-23 on the season. The New York Mets now sit at 20-22 after getting thrashed 10-3 by the Nationals. These are the series that you look at to start the year where you're supposed to be able to make up ground. And we're talking about bad teams that the Mets have played, Joe and Erie, and they're losing ground here. Can't be happy times there up in Flushing, Queens.
No, and now they got a series against what? Tampa coming up here? So, this could go from bad to absolute worst here when you're talking about a team. And, Donnie, you know, they started off, what, 14-7 on the year. Mets fans were chirping. Things were great. Then now they've dropped 15 of 21 since that start here now. They're already, I can't remember the last time they've actually won back-to-back games. You got to go back to the beginning of April. I mean, it's been now some tough luck. Don't get me wrong, too, the injury bug. But when you're investing that kind of money in, 40-year-olds, don't know what to tell you here, Mets. A lot of people saw this coming. A lot of people except maybe the Mets organization. But when you lose to Patrick Corbin, I don't know what else there is to say here, Donnie.
Yeah, the new improved Patrick Corbin here. By the way, Verlander will be on the mound today for the Mets. And what we did today staggered the previews, some for hour number one and hour number two, to give you all the flavor you need in Major League Baseball, which, again, might start down in Baltimore. Shohei Ohtani was sensational yesterday. And as Joe pointed out at the top, sometimes you see these great players and you try to poke holes in it. Well, yeah, maybe he's not going to be as good a pitcher as he was in the past. And I always say, Joe, when you're with Shohei Ohtani, if the guy's the fifth starter on your team and hitting 270 with 30 home runs, He's the MVP of the league. Why? Because nobody else can do that. But to pitch effectively and be one of the more dominant hitters in baseball, it shows you the talent level, and it was on full display last night. The guy went 7 innings on the road against a good ball club in their environment, maybe gave up a couple long balls there, yes, but he also accommodated the Angels with his plate appearances, getting 4 hits yesterday, almost hitting for the cycle. He was sensational. That was a superstar on full display in a game that the Angels needed to improve the 22-20.
Yeah, I mean, he going into that game last night, there were some questions about Ohtani, and, you know, he hadn't been as effective on the mound, but, you know, give me a break here. Look at what he's doing at the plate. He had allowed 12 runs on 14 hits in his last 18 innings. He did give up, like you said, gave up some more runs there, so that is certainly something to be concerning. 5 home runs in those 18 innings, gave up another one last night, but ultimately, yeah, he's making up for it at the plate. How many pitchers can say that, Donnie, where, listen, all right, I may have given up a few runs here, but don't worry, I got you guys. I'm gonna go out and hit for the almost cycle here. I'm going to park one in the bleachers. I'll make up for it. It's just unlike anything we have ever seen, this generation has ever seen, nor will we see in any future generation, if we're being honest.
Yeah, really the only place that you ever see it is like town little league baseball with 5th, 6th, and 7th graders where the pitcher is so dominant and also he's the best hitter. It's like we're getting back to that street baseball environment, which is fantastic stuff here. How about this? Yankees and the Blue Jays 7-4 yesterday. The Yankees actually got out to a 7-0 lead and coasted. Aaron Judge with 2 more home runs yesterday, including a 462-foot mammoth shot, which, again, in the new rebuilt ballpark in Toronto, didn't matter. That was way out of there. But we brought up in the 7-7 the glance, which, is there going to be retribution today? Because we know Major League Baseball, the unwritten rules, Joe, that we know and love, if we think you're cheating, we're going to plunk you. Let's see if something happens with that.
Yeah, well, he's not cheating. You hung a snot of a ball over the plate there at 80 miles an hour that, Donnie, if we're being honest, you and I could have hit. I am, the fact that he hit it, what, 470 feet or some stupid number along those lines. Yeah, you can tell a dude all day long what's coming. Doesn't mean he's going to hit a ball like that. Unless, of course, you hang it out over the plate at 85 miles an hour. So see ya. Bye-bye. Next controversy. Leave Judge out of this. Not his fault that you left it over the plate like you did, Donnie.
By the way, it must be easy to hit home runs up there in Toronto, Joe, because pregame there, Josh Allen and Matt Barkley, both Buffalo Bills quarterbacks, did go yard in batting practice. So, hey, maybe something's flying out of it. The Deuce baseballs are back in Major League Baseball. And why? The Cardinals scored 18 times yesterday against the Brewers. Wow. Now, we have a little segment set up at the end of the hour to talk about what's going on with the Cardinals now. But we need to talk about jump-starting your season. What better way to do that than against a first-place caliber team and smack them by 17 runs?
Yeah, well, 17 runs. I think we actually had our first position player out on the mound in a game, right? I don't recall having that yet this year, where the games got so out of control because they changed the rules, right, Donnie? I mean, you couldn't be bringing, the reserve third baseman in the game in the 7th or 8th inning anymore. It had to be out of control. Well, that game got out of control in a hurry. And what was kind of, I thought maybe we'd get some runs with Flaherty, likes to walk a lot of guys, could they continue this this streak here, sweeping right through Fenway? But boy, oh boy, the answer is yes. This is they had, people forget 2 weeks ago, Donnie, we were laughing. The Cardinals couldn't buy a win. And now all of a sudden they don't want to lose. And all they're doing is destroying every pitcher that comes their way. So might be a nice little run to get back in this in the Central here for the Cards.
Feel good for my guy Bradford here getting the call up there for the Texas Rangers going against an elite lineup against left-handed pitching. And again, the Braves, a 12-0 win. As you just talked about, you don't see those utility players too much pitching in Major League Baseball. You saw one yesterday in the Braves game because they roasted the Rangers 12-0 behind 12 hits here. By the way, more of an anomaly too. 12 hits, 12 runs. That's fantastic. But the Rangers had 10 hits and didn't muster a single run. Man, they almost get beat by 2 touchdowns, Joe.
And let's be realistic. I mean, this is a Texas lineup that has been mashing the ball. Look at the run differential with Texas so far this year. They've been doing that to everybody. Yeah, but not the Braves. And more laughable is the fact that 80-year-old Charlie Morton goes out and strikes out, what, 10, 11 dudes in this lineup here. It was just all Atlanta. There will be days like this, they say, Donnie, with every Major League Baseball team. Texas had its day last night. That was awful.
Yeah, the Royals were a lot of fun at home. Seemed like, hey, look at this. This young team here can hit a little bit. Not the case. They're going out to San Diego yesterday as Michael Wacha improves to 4-1 on the season with a shutout over the Royals. They only muster two hits in that game, Joe.
We had a live look last night on In-Game Live. Donnie Wacha had a no-hitter through seven. And then they brought him out in the eighth inning, and he was over the 100-pitch mark, so we thought they might go to the bullpen there. No, they brought him out. Two pitches later, that was the end of the no-hitter. Then they went to the bullpen, and they ended up winning 4-0 there. But that's the fourth straight start in a row now. Wacha looks like he has found a little something in that rotation for the Padres.
Yeah, always nice to pitch out there in San Diego, a true pitcher's ballpark here. Another true pitcher's ballpark. Saw the Giants get six runs on the Philadelphia Phillies. Bailey Falter, who is now 0-7 on the year, maybe Bailey Falter at this point. Phillies got to wake up here now, 9-14 on the road. Lost to a bad Giants team last night. Bad performance by those Fightins, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he had one bad inning, Donnie. That was it early in the game, and Philadelphia just could not put back-to-back hits together. They had some opportunities and couldn't get the big hit.
Dodgers take out the Twins 9-8 in 12 innings. Oof. A lot of offense, and that one 17 combined runs. But you know what? Today on Tuesday, full Major League Baseball card. We're going to get that started in the next segment with our first preview of the day. Stay tuned. It's the Early Line with Joe and Donnie. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball six-pack here on a Tuesday morning edition of the Early Line. It's Joe and Donnie. Let's dip right into it. First game of the day, 6:36. First pitch, that's down in Baltimore. The Angels and the Orioles. The Angels going to send Silseth to the mound versus Kramer. If we line this game up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a line of -134 for the Baltimore Orioles. A total, nice and tidy there at 9.5. So some runs are expected here yesterday. We saw the excitement in the ballpark yesterday with Shohei Ohtani. More fireworks today. Not great pitchers on the mound here, Joe.
Well, no. I mean, you got a bullpen guy going out for the Angels here. And let's, if we're being realistic here, I mean, very odd that the Orioles lose a opening game of a series because they have been absolutely on fire. I believe they have won 9 of their last 10 series now. They got to get a clean sweep here if they're going to keep that rolling. But you got to like their opportunities to bounce back here. Don't forget, prior to that game last night, we had watched. It had not been a good week for the Angels, and that bullpen, Donnie, that has melted down a number of games here over this last week here, blowing leads left and right. So the bullpen's got some issues. They're going with a reliever to start. This feels like we could be getting a whole lot more than the 9.5 runs they got listed right now.
Yeah, Silseth coming into this game over the last 30 days doesn't have a lot of action, Joe. 17 batters from the left side, 17 from the right side, but he actually has some very good splits with weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers. But if you look at his xFIP number, it is high at a 5.07 over the past month, which in turn tells you he's walking too many guys and certainly not striking out enough guys. If we flip it over to the opposite side, Kramer's on the mound, 4.73 xFIP over the past 30 days. Left-handed batters get to him a little bit, Joe, at a 3.84 weighted on base percentage. And of course, as you know, that's right in Ohtani's wheelhouse at this point. So something to watch. Maybe we don't get the fireworks that we saw yesterday, or maybe we do. It's True Hitters Ballpark, and we're sitting that close to 10, and that's a direct shot here at those two pitchers on the mound. Let's take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Detroit Tigers. Ortiz will will be on the mound here for the Pirates, and Lorenzen will be on the mound for the Detroit Tigers. A slight favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for the Tigers at a minus 116 price, and a total that's listed at 9. That over also, light juice, at a minus 102. Pirates-Tigers, Joe, what are you thinking here?
Well, Lorenzen actually pretty decent so far this year, but he also has a ton of experience against this Pirates team since he spent all that time with the Cincinnati Reds. So he knows this team here. It's a quick little two-game shot, you know, with Ortiz going on the mound, Lorenzen. I don't know that we're going to get a ton of runs in this game. We certainly know that the Pirates, their lineup a little bit more potent than what the Tigers are. But what I didn't realize when I looked at some of the numbers, Donnie, is that this Tigers bullpen, as well as the Pirates bullpen, actually pretty decent as far as team ERA goes. So maybe the under might be a better look here with these guys on the mound, and given what we've seen from both these bullpens, at least through this point in the season.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that, Joe. Take a look at Lorenzen over the past month, 4.67 xFIP, which is a little bit high. But look at the splits here. To lefties, a 225 weighted on base percentage, and the righties, a 304. And when you line it up against that Pittsburgh lineup, they haven't hit right-handed pitching all that well over the past 30 days. If we're looking at elevated ISO power numbers due up in the lineup, Sawinski today with 386, which is fantastic. Marcano, 178, and Joe, 197. Everybody else behind there, Joe, just doesn't stack up and underperforming against right-handed pitching. And take a look at Ortiz. He's got a high xFIP, 5.78. Doesn't strike out too many batters. But again, through limited numbers over 24 batters, the left-handed batter is getting the best of them. But again, you're looking at a lineup today that does have the ability to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left-handed batters. You say, boy, that should be pretty good. Just told you that Ortiz has struggled with his limited time against lefties. But this lineup is terrible, Joe. Outside of Urbanez, is 188 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. The other eight batters estimated in the lineup all underperforming and below that number. So I think you're onto something here. I'm certainly not looking over. If it takes 10 to beat me here, probably the under is something I'll be more interested in. If we take a look at the Nationals and the Marlins, Gray on the mound here for the Nationals. The Marlins are going to send out Luzardo, a favorite here for the Marlins at home at a minus 158 price in a total here, much lower than the last two games. That's listed at 7.5 down in Miami today.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, both these teams started off in different directions, right? The Nats couldn't buy a win. The Marlins, you know, were doing really, really well. I believe the Marlins are 12-1 this year in one-run games. But now it looks like the script has flipped here a little bit. Marlins having a hard time getting wins in the month of May. And yet the Nats continuing to play some solid baseball. I mean, call me crazy here, but they got their best pitcher out on the mound, Josiah Gray, going against Luzardo. This is an interesting one. Total's a little low for my taste here, but dare we say maybe the wrong team could be favorite here? What are you thinking, Donnie?
Yeah, you know what's interesting too about Washington, which again, you have that preconceived notion coming into the season, they're just going to be horrendous. They're actually not horrendous, hovering around 500 here. And Gray has turned that corner. His xFIP over the past 30 days is a little bit high at 4.99. But look at his splits, Joe. 262 weighted on base percentage to lefties, 274 to righties. ISO power number is certainly manageable. And the one thing we do know is Miami is a big ballpark. That lineup against right-handed pitching over the past month hasn't hit all that well. Outside of Fortes, it looks like in the hole here, a 278 weighted on base, ISO power number, and Wendell, not a lot doing in that lineup here. If we're looking then to flip it over and say, okay, what's Luzardo up to? A 5.32 xFIP, which is high, but he has dominated left-handed batters, but struggling a little bit with right-handed batters. I actually think you do give the slight nod here to the road team, the Nationals. Never thought you'd say that too many times here in 2023, but it looks like that's the direction that we are trending here. Let's go up, and we expect some runs tonight, maybe north of the border in the sixth. That's the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Herman's going to be on the mound for the Yankees going up against Kevin Gausman, a monster favorite here for Toronto with Kevin Gausman at a minus 188 price and a total, Joe, listed at 9 here up north. What are we looking at from the Rogers Center tonight?
Well, I mean, the Yankees are certainly swinging the bats really, really well here. Toronto, outside of that loss last night, had been on a nice little streak. Both these teams, wins have come in bunches here over the last 7 to 10 days. So something's going to have to give here tonight. And we're looking at a total of 8.5. Gausman has been pretty spot on. Herman, you're just not quite sure what you're going to get from him at this particular point. The only thing I am confident on is that the Blue Jays are probably overpriced here, given this Yankees lineup and the way they've been able to put the ball in play and make some good things happen. And it looks like Judge is finally healthy again, which I don't know. Gausman or no Gausman here, I do think I can't be laying that kind of money with Toronto. So maybe the Yankees worth a little play, maybe early here in this one as well in the first five.
Yeah, take a look at Herman on the season, or should I say the last 30 days here, 5.31 xFIP number, which is elevated. He has struggled a little bit with right-handed bats, but you're going to get some pretty good power bats there from the right side today for Toronto. But if we go over Gausman, his last 30 days have been great. Take a look at this, Joe. An xFIP of 2.46, a K rate close to 36%, and take a look at these numbers. To lefty batters, a 288 weighted on-base percentage. To righties, a 290 here. So maybe a deserved favorite in this game, but you're right. Big bats there starting to come alive here for the New York Yankees. It is a divisional lineup and a team that knows each other. It's like, hey, we've never seen Gausman before here. Boy, he's throwing some good stuff. They've seen him quite a few times. But if you're just looking from a pitching matchup alone, looks like you're probably going to lean towards the Toronto Blue Jays today. Mariners and the Red Sox. Castillo on the mound here for the Mariners. Pivetta on the mound for those Boston Red Sox. A heavy favorite, a heavy road favorite here for the Mariners coming in at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, at a -164 price and a total here. We might be expecting some runs. 9.5 tonight up in Fenway.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, let's be realistic here. We've got, I do think Pivetta has got some positive regression coming his way, Donnie, especially with his FIP versus his ERA. Those numbers are, that tells me he's coming, he's going to have some better luck here very shortly. And then, of course, you got Castillo on the mound for Seattle. So when you put it all together, I think the 9.5, I think this is a good time to take a look, especially this Boston lineup right now is having a hard time putting some runs on the board. They had a hard time again last night, Sunday night, leading into last night. 9.5 was a big number for me. So I'm looking at the under, given Pivetta and the regression that's coming in a positive way for him, as well as Castillo. I think the under is the way to look here.
Yeah, here's the interesting part about that, too, because the one thing we always worry about, Joe, right, sometimes the pitching doesn't matter all that much in Boston, small ballpark, 77 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out at 12 miles an hour, so something to keep an eye on. But I do agree with the synopsis that you just gave there. It's basically, you know what? Take advantage of some struggling lineups here. Castillo can throw a gem on the road. And also, we're not dealing with 7.5 runs. It takes 10 to beat you here, which is still a lot in Major League Baseball, regardless of ballpark and windy conditions that are blowing out here. Next game we'll take a look at quickly is the Mets taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. Verlander versus Beeks. And how about this? The Mets, a heavy favorite at a -168 price, a total of 8.5. Give me some quick thoughts on the Rays-Mets tonight, Joe, from New York.
Yeah, interesting here. I think obviously we can look at Tampa and be like, well, can they not get there? It's not like they don't know Verlander here, right? They understand what is going on. He's looked good here, the limited starts over the last couple of days, but this is a different lineup here. And man, oh man, I do think fewer runs for the Tampa Bay Rays, maybe a team total under, but I still think they win the game.
Yeah, who's going to doubt the Tampa Bay Rays, especially in a dog price here? And what you've seen from the Mets here that they're going to rally around, they're under 500. The Rays certainly way over 500 here. You know what we're going to do next, though? We're going to reset the NBA playoffs, have some fun talking about it. Don't go anywhere. Come on back. It's the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Did you miss the NBA? Did you enjoy having a day off? Did you decompress getting ready for the essential Final Four in the NBA? Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. Getting underway tonight will be the Western Conference Finals. That's the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. So we will handicap this game a little bit later in hour number two. But it's fun, Joe, to sort of reset the playoffs and find out where we stand. Odds-wise, legacy-wise, just fun topics and some of those unsung heroes that might step up in the biggest moments. But let's keep it simple to start it off. The NBA Western Conference right now, obviously, between the Nuggets and the Lakers. The Nuggets have home court advantage over the Los Angeles Lakers in one of the better environments you'll find for the home team. Why? They're used to playing in elevation where other teams certainly are not. If we're looking at the series price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this series, the Denver Nuggets actually higher yesterday by 10 cents, minus 155 yesterday, minus 165 today. If you think the Lakers can win the series over the Nuggets, you're getting a price of plus 140. We'll start there. Looking at the odds, do they seem fair to you here the way the FanDuel Sportsbook priced these, Joe? And also, who are you leaning towards with these prices?
Yeah, it would. It's an interesting matchup, and it's one, of course, that we did see just a few years ago there in the bubble. And it's funny because some of the questions that we had back in 2020, Donnie, about this series, I still think we have. And I think the biggest one is this version of Anthony Davis. Is anybody going to be able to stop Jokic? Can anybody slow him down? Because don't forget that Lakers team, when they did beat him in 2020, they had a lot of big men on that team. They had Dwight Howard, they had JaVale McGee, they had Anthony Davis, and we all know the only way really to slow down the Joker is by throwing a lot of big bodies at him, right? Make him uncomfortable. They don't really have that. Who is it? Tristan Thompson? Like, who are they going after Anthony Davis to go up against Jokic? And I think that's going to be the big problem. I think it's going to be all Anthony Davis, not a lot of help on him. And I think if Jokic wins this battle, then Denver wins this series rather easily. I think this all hinges on Anthony Davis not disappearing every other game, but he's got to handle Jokic, and this time around, he's got to do it by himself because there is no physical JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard to back him up. So a lot on Anthony Davis's shoulders going into this one.
I think two teams comfortable, Joe, in their environments, too, because you saw the first two rounds. Obviously, the Nuggets, the number one overall seed, handling their business and dispatching their first two opponents here and using home court advantage to their, you know, abilities. You take a look at the Lakers. They were the opposite here. They didn't have home court advantage in the first two series and bounced both of the two higher seeded teams here. So the Lakers should feel comfortable, and so should the Denver Nuggets. It'll be fun to play it out. And as we said, we're going to handicap this game a little bit later in the show. Why don't we move it over to the NBA Eastern Conference here? And if we're looking at that's the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. The Celtics, obviously a higher seed, will have home court advantage. And we just talked about a number one seed here playing at home and say, okay, the prices look fairly good if you want to take a favorite in the series or if you want to take a dog, legitimate chance that they can win. Why? They were just priced at plus 140. Boy, that's not the case here in the Eastern Conference, Joe. The Boston Celtics, a minus 550 to advance over the Miami Heat, and the Heat getting a plus 390 price. I look at that, my eyes pop out of my head because if I'm saying, I do think the Celtics are the better team and have the home court advantage. Yes, but Joe, I'm not paying a minus 550 price in this series after what I just saw out of the Heat the last two rounds.
Well, you know, this was eerily similar to what we saw in the first round with the Milwaukee Bucks, isn't it, Donnie?
Yes.
Against the Miami Heat. So they didn't get any love there. They're not getting any love here. And listen, I'm nobody is arguing the fact that on paper, there are a ton of advantages here for this Boston Celtics team. But you know what, Donnie? There were a ton of advantages last year for them as well, and they were one Jimmy Butler three away from not winning that series, and it still took seven games. I don't see a whole lot of difference, only this time I think we got a lot more experience. This is going to be, what, the third time in how many years now that these two teams have met in the Eastern Conference Finals? It's kind of laughable, Donnie, because maybe this is the new rivalry here that nobody's paying attention to. But I don't expect Miami to be this big of a or to be this easy of a pushover, which is what the market is pricing this thing at, as if, you know, they'll be lucky to win one game and this will be over in five. I'm not buying it. There's a lot of pride on these two teams. We know Spoelstra has been there and done that. He's going to have some advantages over Mazzulla. And quite honestly, is there anything consistent about the Boston team that would lead you to believe that they are so, they're a well-oiled machine right now? I don't think so. And I think the market, just not giving enough credit here to the Miami Heat. I hate to say it. I don't want to seem like a homer here, Donnie, but my goodness, really? You did the same thing against Milwaukee. You priced them the same way, and look at that worked out.
Yeah, ended at five games at that point, too. And also, you take a look at being the road team again, the Miami Heat 1-6 in that second round. If you take a look at the Celtics, you're coming through six games against the Hawks, seven games against the Philadelphia 76ers. Still wins in the advance, but this wasn't gentlemen sweeps or sweeps that we're talking about for the Celtics here, which then puts us right here square looking at the NBA Finals odds. Now, typically, if you're in the finals, it's like, okay, one team's going to be favored over the other. But when most people hear about futures wagers, hey, look at all that plus money I'm going to get, 200, 300. 400, 500, which would be the case here if you're betting the Nuggets, Lakers, and the Miami Heat. But at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we're now looking at a minus 105 price here for the Boston Celtics, who will have to beat a very game Miami Heat team and then face the best out of the West, which could be the Nuggets and or the Lakers. Once again, I think the Celtics have a legitimate chance to win a championship, Joe, but I don't want to bet into a minus 105 price here at this point. I just don't feel like I'm getting enough here out of the Boston Celtics there.
Yeah, I said it last year, Donnie, and it bears repeating. I think that series against Miami took enough out of Boston, which is why they couldn't overcome Golden State. I think they lost it last year because of what a grind that seven-game series was against Miami. It took a pound of flesh. I mean, I don't even care if Miami would have won. I think that series took so much out of both of those teams that it was going to be impossible to overcome the Golden State Warriors last year. And, you know, I'm thinking the same thing this year, that this is going to be an absolute war. And if it does, in fact, go another seven games and everyone is who's going to have enough left to face either the Lakers or Denver? And if that series happens to go quickly, you know, five or six games, and Boston or Miami is still playing games, it's, again, advantage to the West, not the East, and the Boston Celtics here.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch it play out there, but it's nice just to reset sometimes these series just to see what you're going to get out of those. But now we take it to another level where you can't really quantify and there's no exact right answer. We take a look at LeBron James and Nikola Jokic. Legacy games, that's what we like to call them. And the reason why I bring up LeBron James, obviously, in his fight in public, or should I say the court of public opinion against Michael Jordan, every championship that you win to get closer to Michael sort of solidifies that, yes, I'm one of the greatest of all time and I should be in this conversation. If LeBron James is able to win this series, get to another NBA Finals and possibly win it, that would give him five championships, one behind Michael Jordan. And you say, Donnie, what are you talking about legacy games for Nikola Jokic? Well, he's a two-time MVP. Some probably thought he should have won the MVP a third straight time this season. But the angle I look at it from, Joe, is the legacy of the big man here. And you say, well, Donnie, you look at Anthony Davis, he's a big man. He's with the Lakers. We're talking about working the entire offensive set and also the best player on your team being that big man here. If he can win, it sort of gives like, hey, Joel Embiid might be able to get that done, or another big man can come along here. We don't see it all that often. So talk to me a little bit about Michael Jordan going up against LeBron James, if LeBron James win the series, and then just Jokic, what it means to the NBA if he can advance to the finals and maybe take down a championship for himself.
Well, it's interesting. Styles make fights here, and ironically enough here, it's not going to be LeBron that's the difference maker in this game, in this series. It's going to be Anthony Davis. And if Anthony Davis can't get it done, then LeBron is going to be forced into a situation where he's going to have to carry a lot more of the load here. And those shoulders ain't 30 anymore. They're pushing 40 right now, Tony. So LeBron would have to be a Herculean effort if Anthony Davis doesn't live up to the potential here and handle his business. So it is certainly possible, but I think this is a big ask in this series of LeBron James. If he is to get it done, it may be, quite honestly, if he runs not only through Denver, but he is able to somehow, given where they were to start the year, to where they're, you know, finishing with a championship and going through Denver and or Boston or Miami, that could be maybe his Picasso, man. It could be maybe the greatest championship. And that's saying a lot for a dude that's been there now consistently for, what, the last 20 years, it feels like. But this would be, I think, the thing that pushes him over the edge, and that we'd have to stop with the where's the rings. Well, you know, at some point we got to there with Brady, right, where it was just like, yeah, I know he lost a whole lot, but at some point you got to go, like, he's doing this now at 38 with limited guys around him again still. This would be it. I don't know that he'll get there, but if he does, to your point, I think we got to stop with the whole he's not Mike, because he's every bit as good as Mike at that point.
Yeah, well said. Certainly well said there, Joe. Now, if we take a look at flip it over to the Eastern Conference, we had a lot of talks in the past, what, year and a half. Can Jaylen Brown and can, you know, Jason Tatum exist with one another and win basketball games, meaningly win championships?
Remember that?
Well, they're another step closer here. But, yeah, what happens in this series? Let's just say Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler and Spoelstra outcoaches Missoula and they win this. Are we still going to look at an entire offseason going, like, they can't coexist? It's time to break it up. Because, quite frankly, if the Sixers would have won in six games against the Celtics, I really think there was a strong chance that that tandem would have been broken up. But obviously winning cures everything. What happens if they lose, Joe? Any thoughts of breaking up those two superstars?
No, I think those two superstars are, once again, the big reason as to why they're there. I think this is a core group here of Tatum, of Brown, of Marcus Smart and Horford and Robert Williams. I think there is a window of opportunity here, Donnie. I think it showed, it opened up last year. I still think it's obviously opened up again this year. And quite honestly, now with, they didn't have Brogdon last year, they have him now coming off the bench. They got another level of guys now coming off the bench in which they didn't have last year. So I do think moving forward, we've got about another 2 year window that you've got to give it a go with these guys. Yeah, I think if you're the Celtics, I don't think you have a choice, because I don't know that you are certainly not going to be able to redo it in the draft, Donnie. So you're gonna have to figure it out here. New coach, this is a lot of learning on the fly here with some experience on that roster. You got 2 years, as far as I'm concerned, before we have this conversation again.
Yeah, I think it's foolish to let one or even both of those guys go and break it up. They're certainly too talented. Quickly here on this, you know, we talk about some guys stepping up in the biggest moments, some unsung heroes in these conferences here. For me, a guy that's been great to me in the same game parlays, Austin Reeves. Do you have any unsung heroes that you might be looking at either from an Eastern or Western Conference perspective here for these games?
Well, yeah, there are going to be a few of them here, and I will just say, I mean, Jokic is going to get all of the, Jokic is going to get all the headlines, but that series could hinge on what Jamal Murray does. Just saying.
I like it. I like where we're going. Unsung heroes setting the table for the NBA, but more importantly, we'll get to those games in hour number two. But before we get to hour number two, let's talk Cardinals baseball. They're alive!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit hour number two here coming up next. We're going to get into a lot more Major League Baseball and also NBA action. But I got to tell you, some things catch your attention here. Opening the season, I said to myself, if we're looking at the NL Central, to me, the most talented team by far would be the Cardinals. If I got a bullpen, starting pitching staff, and also lineup, that's the way I would go. Couldn't figure out about, you know, a week and a half into the season, what is wrong with the Cardinals, Joe? But now as we look, yesterday, plating 17 more than the Brewers got. We're also now moving up the charts with the Cardinals, who even yesterday were plus 365 to win that division. They're already down to a plus 300 price. Winners of 7 of 8 games in a long season. Have the Cardinals figured it out here, Joe?
And what a turnaround, right? They had had a stretch in which they lost 11 of 12, and now they're in a stretch where they've won 7 of their last 8, and the bats are starting to come alive. Nolan Arenado crushing it. Goldschmidt, and the pitching, too. I mean, they got another one on the mound here today with Montgomery, has been absolutely dominating here. So they're starting to put some pieces, and I'll tell you this right now. if the Flaherty that showed up yesterday, if that, because that looks a lot more like the guy pre-surgery from a couple of years ago, Donnie, that's a frontline starter. That's a number one or a number two guy. If they have finally figured it out with him and he's healthy, the Cardinals are no joke here. We need to pay attention to what's going on here, especially with the pitching staff.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, one of those teams, too, that always find two or three players from their minor league system, like in the middle of the year, that where did this five-star guy come from here? Because that's what they do. They certainly develop talent. But this team's starting to come alive. And again, as we say, Major League Baseball is a long run. It's not like in the NFL, like, hey, opened up the first 6 weeks bad. I'm 1-5. Well, that's lights out on the season. You can still recover. And also, we're talking about a team with the Milwaukee Brewers. Not all that talented all the way through. Yes, they have a great pitching staff to start up, but their hitters aren't that great. The Cubs, Pirates, and Reds, come on now. Cardinals are going to be a player. We'll see where that line even ends up by next week, but certainly a 3-1 price here just to win the NL Central. Hour number two is coming up next, and we're going to talk a little bit of hockey. The Kraken are out. Which teams are left? Come on back and find out.